Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your moments in your life. Today, we're honored to have Sarah Jones, who is a founder and CEO of Miss Jones Baking, on our podcast today. And as you know, we talk about topics in leadership and sports, business, and life. And Sarah is just a great story of perseverance and resilience and innovation. And I've gotten to know her and know a little bit about Miss Jones Baking, and they just have great tasting products. And I think that you'll hear through her story about how she wanted to innovate in a certain area and how her passion for baking transferred into starting a company that is really providing some great products for us that taste good, that are good for us. And I think you'll really be inspired by her story today as well. So, Sarah, welcome to Monday Morning Moments.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've been trying to do this for a while, and I'm just glad you made time for this. You know, when I look at your website and I see, you know, you, Miss Jones, and who you are at the core was founded on believing that better ingredients mean better results and leading to a better way to bake. Tell us a little bit about the mission of Miss Jones Baking and how you got to starting this company.
Yeah, so the easiest way to describe us is we're the organic version of Betty Crocker. We sell organic baking mixes and frostings, but what we're really doing is building a generational baking brand. And our mission is to make the best tasting baking mixes, frostings, baking products with the cleanest possible ingredients so that you feel good about what you're feeding to your family, your friends, and your loved ones.
And I think that's really reaching out to millennials who want to bake, who want to rediscover that art of doing it, but we're looking for something beyond just kind of the quick mix or something with the ingredients they couldn't pronounce, and really providing an opportunity for that. What was your first experience with baking, and how did it become a passion for you?
So my first experience was with my mom. She's a great baker, great cook, and she loves to cook and bake as well. So, I don't know, I was maybe 2, 3, kind of the earliest age you can get a kid into the kitchen and get them involved. She had me baking, and we have photos, or we have photos of me baking in the kitchen. We have drawings of, you know, me trying to say, me and my mom baking chocolate chip cookies. And that just really sparked my interest. And for whatever reason, it never went away. I continued to teach myself new techniques, more advanced techniques as I got older. I'd just read baking books like they were novels. I'd ask for cooking classes for my birthday and for Christmas. And it's just always really been a passion of mine.
That's great. And you mentioned Betty Crocker and millennials. And I know in articles you've been referred to as the millennial Betty Crocker. And I don't like to put labels on, you know, anybody, but I think that you've combined two things, because in the generation, millennial generation, and the generation that you're reaching and a part of, I think that you're combining two passions, as you said, having that early experience of baking, and it's really become a lost art. I can remember, you know, my mom and grandparents baking and doing things and waiting for it to come out of the oven and knowing it was going to taste good, something that was homemade and that they spent time and not just popping it into the microwave, but also combining this thing of people desiring better ingredients, things they can pronounce, and living healthier lifestyles. So do you find that a lot of millennials want to pursue that, both to make the time to bake something that's great and great for people, but also that is good for them as well?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, the difference between the millennial generation and our parents' generation is that we all work, and some of our moms worked growing up, but I don't think to the same extent that our generation works, and we spend all day on the computer. And so for us, some of these activities that were maybe kind of viewed as more traditional homemaking skills or activities are actually creative outlets for us. So they're things we want to get into. We want to learn how to bake. We want to learn how to cook. But it needs to be really easy. I mean, you know, an obvious example of this is Blue Apron, right?
Yeah.
Millennials love Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron. It makes you, it teaches you how to make things that you wouldn't otherwise make or go to the store and buy ingredients for. And it sets you up for success. And that's what our baking mixes do. So we just make it easier to fit baking into our crazy hectic schedules. And then we really focus on the digital side on providing creative, inspirational recipes so you can make our mixes your own. So simple things like adding pumpkin and pumpkin spice to our vanilla cake mix, baking it in mini muffin pans, and then rolling it in pumpkin spice sugar, and you've got mini pumpkin donut muffins for your Friendsgiving next week. So that's great. A big focus of ours.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not following them on Instagram, you need to follow Miss Jones, because they, one, have great pictures of final products, but also provide links to recipes that are incredible, and they're easy to do. And I think anybody can do them. If you, even if you're not, quote, a baker, you can definitely do it based on the instructions and things that they give. You know, thinking about this, so it's great to have a passion. It sounds like it was an early passion of yours and just was just inborn in you. As an entrepreneur, how did your work experiences prepare you for becoming an entrepreneur? Because you've got a master's in accounting from UT, you worked at Apple and even Brit & Co. And I mean, there's a path there that I think you really leveraged your experiences to get to where you are now. And that's really key for people to think about when they think about calling and purpose in their lives. And we talk about those topics a lot on this podcast. Tell us a little bit about your experiences from, you know, getting out of UT and then how that prepared you to start Miss Jones.
Yeah, I would say in a lot of ways, I always knew I wanted to do something in baking and in food. And so I tried to architect my career in a way that would support that. But then some of it, you know, was things that I, choices that I made, and some of it was luck or situations that I was able to, you know, take advantage of to my benefit. So I decided when I was in high school that I was going to major in accounting in college because I thought it would be a great background for starting my own business one day. And I knew if I never actually figured out what I was going to start, that accounting was a very stable career. So
that's right.
It was kind of a backup plan too.
Sure.
And so after I graduated, I took a job with PricewaterhouseCoopers in Dallas in their M&A transaction services group, so doing due diligence for private equity firms. And I specifically joined that group because it meant that I got to look at new businesses, you know, every 8 to 12 weeks, every time we were on a new deal, and see how different businesses made money and just, I don't know, businesses, entrepreneurship, like understanding how businesses work has always been something that interests me.
Right.
So that was a great experience. And then I took a job after that with Apple in a very small two-person group that was providing supply chain strategy advice, but from more of a financial perspective, for our senior ops team and for our vendors, and helping them scale with Apple's needs, since it is such a large company with such significant product ramps.
Right.
And there, I don't know that choice was so much strategic in terms of preparing myself for starting my own business, although it ended up being strategic because I learned about manufacturing and you know, CPG brands are a lot about manufacturing. But it was a little bit about getting Apple on my resume.
Right.
And just continuing to build my skill set and be more hireable to, you know, based on whatever I wanted to do. But I'd actually, kind of stepping back a bit, after I graduated from college, I got a digital camera and started a baking blog on the side and had that as my creative outlet. And my hope was that maybe if I got good enough at blogging, one day someone would hire me to be a food editor. So I had that going on the side. While I was at Apple, I met a coworker who was one of the original founders of Sir Kensington's, which is a ketchup and condiment company. It was actually sold to Unilever this summer. They had a successful exit. And when I found out that he and his friends had started a CPG brand in college, I said, I've always wanted to do something in food. I've never quite figured out how to make it into my career. You know, how did you guys start it? And the biggest advice he gave me was find an opening in the market. And so I took that advice to heart. And since I was such a baker, started spending a ton of time at Whole Foods in Cupertino and then at Safeway as well, looking for, you know, what was this missing product in the market. And what I saw was there wasn't a natural organic frosting. And more broadly, there weren't natural organic baking mixes. And I saw the rest of the store was changing. It was becoming more natural and organic and better for you. It was keeping up with consumer preferences. But the baking aisle specifically was stuck in whatever decade you wanted to call it. And that's when I kind of saw the opportunity to create a generational baking brand. And so I started working on the idea on the side. And I finally had a prototype. We had some initial packaging. But I actually, during that process, met a girl named Britt Morin, who was starting a digital media company that the media was calling Martha Stewart for millennials, or she was going to be Martha Stewart for millennials. And we met because of the baking blog I had started on the side because she needed freelance contributors. I started freelancing for them, doing baking recipes and photography. She eventually found out I had a background in finance and ops and was trying to start my own product line. And she said, you know, why don't you come be my first business hire? And while I had gotten Miss Jones to this point where, you know, technically we could probably launch it, I still didn't have any branding, any marketing skills. I was completely, you know, ops and finance and accounting focused before that. And so I said, this is a really great opportunity for me to go figure out how do you start a business? How do you run it? How do you manage it? And how do you, you know, like how, what is marketing basically?
Right, right.
What is digital media? And so we carved Miss Jones out of the employment agreement so I could go help her build Britt & Co. We took that website from nothing to the point where, you know, over 100 million people see their content every single month.
That's great.
And I learned all about digital media and marketing and branding, and ultimately left there and how to start a company, left there so much stronger and so much more capable of running my own company. And so once I finally, you know, kind of felt like I got what I needed from that and I helped them reach some goals and I had gotten Miss Jones to a better place, I left and decided to launch the company. So it's a very long-winded answer to
well,
work experiences prepared you to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I've heard you tell that story. We've talked about it, but I think it's important for people listening to this podcast to, there's a bunch of things that are in there. And I think that so many people either don't pursue dreams that they have, or maybe they launch off and they don't have a plan and they don't have the right institutional base to do that. And yours is a story of just combining accounting and the experience you got at PwC and Apple and supply chain management and entrepreneurship and finance, and then rounding it off with marketing, along with doing some things on the side that you were pursuing that when the time was right, you were going to launch. And you also had some people towards the end of that saying, you need to be doing this. And so I think it took all of that, and you've done it in the right way. And it's just a great story, I think, of how to do that if somebody is thinking about, you know, an idea that they want to innovate in. As you think about, you saw there was, you know, no innovation in the baking aisle and it was stuck in, you know, some past generation. Kind of as a pioneer in your market space, what have you learned about innovation, and what encouragement and advice would you give to anyone who wants to innovate, whatever their respective field or discipline is?
I mean, in my experience, and this may not be true in all fields, you need to launch a product or a service or whatever you're selling that is differentiated from what's out there. My advice from my friend Brandon at Apple was that, you know, you need to find an opening in the market because you won't get buyers' attention if you don't have one. And that ended up being really true for us. So, you know, we launched the first ever organic ready-to-use frostings. And we launched a line of baking mixes. There were a couple organic baking mixes at the time, but they weren't good and they were not branded properly. But if we just had baking mixes, we wouldn't have gotten any appointments with buyers. The frostings got us the appointments. And then that got us in the door to tell our story of, no, we're building this generational baking brand. Like, you don't just put frostings on the shelf. Like, you need to provide a new solution for consumers that don't have a brand they identify with in the aisle. So, and other things that we've done that I have really pushed us forward and been very helpful was we created the first version of Funfetti style products without artificial colors. So we call our line Confetti Pop Frosting and Confetti Pop Cooking Mix. And we've just seen that do wonders for us in terms of getting more distribution, because it is a differentiated product, getting more press and consumer awareness, because it's this really beloved product.
Right.
That's always been kind of dirty, and now you've got a clean version that's delicious.
Right.
And just really showing who we are as a brand, that we invested money in developing this product because we know it's such a joy moment for consumers in the aisle. And that's really helped us set us apart from other competitors who have launched since we did.
Yeah. And the thing I love about your company is you're not just peddling a product that's hip and cool because it's cool to be organic or, you know, whatever the kind of the trend of the day is. You're basically trying to help people bake in a better way with better ingredients. And the branding and what you're about as a company is awesome. And there's a firm foundation there, and not just trying to jump in on a market segment, but really trying to tailor to a generation who wants and needs this. And, you know, the digital marketing that y'all do is incredible too, to help people in that process. So that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. As an entrepreneur, I know you face challenges, and you know, in just a lot of entrepreneurs, business leaders in general, will face challenges. What are some challenges that you've experienced, or maybe one that you would highlight and think about something that you've learned about yourself and conquering these challenges, or perseverance and grit through it?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenges we overcame in the process of launching this brand was manufacturing. There wasn't an organic frosting manufacturer in the US. There was actually really only kind of one frosting manufacturer, and they didn't really do anything outside of the standard frostings that were on the shelf. And so I started in 2011 or 2012 calling a small frosting manufacturer who did kind of more niche decorating frosting products. And I called him every year for 4 or 5 years and said, when do you want to start manufacturing organic frosting? Like, when are we going to be big enough? And finally wore him down and got him to take us on.
Persistence pays off. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, yeah, I think persistence pays off. And what I learned is, I think I used to, before I started my own business, I used to take no as an answer from people.
Right.
And that doesn't fly for me anymore. And that's what I try and teach my team as well, is perseverance. And your job is to get people to do things for you that they don't think are possible, or that aren't comfortable or easy for them.
Right.
And that's the only way we move forward as a business, and we move forward as a category and an industry, is pushing the envelope. And that's uncomfortable for us and other people sometimes. And it takes a lot of perseverance to convince people to work with you and do what you need to do when you're starting up. So,
right.
My biggest thing is just don't take no for an answer ever.
Yeah.
And never give up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like also you asked, you know, when or what do I need to do for you to take me on? And then you went out and did that. And I see a lot of people sometimes who will just, some of them are even on Shark Tank or, you know, appearing before investors. And when somebody says no, they fall into this, well, this is my destiny, you don't understand. And they don't take some of the advice that they need to do to put them in a position of success. And it sounds like you did that and understood what that was, but were persistent in pursuing that and thought of in terms of possibilities, maybe not probabilities, on what could mm-hmm. happen for you. And I think that's really true of your stores, right? I mean, tell us some of the stores that you're in and where you're in and how y'all have grown over the last year in getting product placement out.
Yeah, so we're about 2.5 years old, and we're now in over 5,000 stores.
That's great.
we're in select Walmarts and Targets, Publix in Florida, which is a huge chain if you live there.
Yeah.
Most Safeways in the western half of the U.S., Whole Foods, Sprouts, some HEBs in Texas. We're hoping to get more soon. But a lot of really big banner chains that we're really proud of getting. And yeah, it does come back to that, still that perseverance in some of these. Definitely way easier for us to get into new stores now.
Right.
But in the beginning, it wasn't easy to convince people.
Right, exactly. And it just sounds like you were faithful with the things that you had and continued to persevere through that and know that there would be an opportunity for it. So
mm-hmm.
What is your favorite Miss Jones product? So you got a lot of them. And let me tell you, first of all, I mean, these things taste really good. I think when people hear, you know, organic and they're thinking, well, that's not going to taste good, but I know it's good for me. The cookies, the brownies, the frostings, the baked mix, all of them taste incredible. But I'm curious about what your favorite product is. Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I'm sure you've heard people say this before, but it's like picking favorite children.
Children, I understand. Yeah.
I definitely have a top few.
Okay.
So I'd say the brownie mix is really fudgy. USA Today did a blind taste test challenge and it actually beat the leading national brand.
Yeah. Wow.
So love the brownie mix. Our confetti pop cookie mix, which is the natural version of the Funfetti cookie mix, is delicious. It's kind of like the best sugar cookie you've ever had. It's like a bakery style sugar cookie. It's very chewy. But with those sprinkles that are free of artificial dyes. So those would probably be my top two on the mix side. On the frostings, I'm kind of partial to the chocolate frosting and then the salted caramel frosting.
Gotcha. And do you work with a team of people that comes up with new flavors, new product offerings, or what is that process like without kind of giving away the secrets? How do y'all go about design around new products and new ideas?
Yeah, so I lead the innovation at Miss Jones, and so most times the ideas come from me, and I have no shortage of them. I kind of drive the team crazy. And then it's a process of narrowing down what makes sense for the brand, for our consumers, for our supply chain, for our retailers. And that's kind of how we start to narrow things down. We look at industry sales data to see what else is performing. If we're seeing a new flavor start to do really well, we look at trends in other categories to see what's happening. That helps us kind of filter things. And then we do work with a team of food scientists, actually ex-Thomas Keller pastry chefs, to then actually create the recipes for our products.
That's great. What, you know, in terms of baking, and we went through this process in our house because we had some Miss Jones products and we wanted to do some baking around that. So I had to go out and we were looking for mixers we needed to get and certain things that we see people doing on some of the videos that we see to make sure that we make, you know, the final products that you're posting on Instagram and other places. But if somebody was getting into this, what are some basic equipment that they need to get to be able to make some great things? Maybe during the holidays, it'd be a great season to do this.
Yeah, so we try really hard to make our products accessible. So, you know, you can actually make any of our mixes with a bowl, a whisk, and a spatula. But it is harder to make the cookie mixes that way. I mean, technically, cookie doughs really should be made in a stand mixer because they can get kind of, they're thicker and drier. And so you need a little more muscle. So, you know, entry level, bowl, spatula, whisk, sheet pan for the cookies, 8x8 or 9x9 inch pan for the brownies, and then an 8 inch round or 9 inch round for the cakes. And then if you want to go up a level, I would invest in a hand mixer. And then if you want to go up another level, I would get a stand mixer.
Yeah.
And a stand mixer does really make your life much easier. And if you leave it on your counter, you'll use it all the time. If you put it in your pantry or you put it in the cabinet, it's heavy to pull out. But if you can leave it on your counter, I promise it makes baking so much more fun and so much easier.
Well, that's what we saw. And I saw my wife trying to, we had lost our hand mixer to, I think, make some sweet potatoes over Thanksgiving or something. And so I saw that Place was having the stand mixers. And so we ended up investing in a KitchenAid artisan mixer and looking forward to using that and making some great Miss Jones cookies over the holidays. So, but it this is what we're talking about. It's rediscovering the art of just baking. And a lot of people who've grown up with that and in a new way and in a better way as well. And that's what y'all are doing. Is there anything that you can talk about that you're excited about? Maybe some new products that are coming out in the new year that have been just announced or that we can at least share on the podcast?
Well, we are very excited about a new product line we have coming out in April of next year, but we can't talk about it yet because it's a little too soon. But maybe I'll tell you later in the year and you can give your listeners an update when we get a little closer to launch.
I understand. That'll be great. What is maybe the confetti? Is that maybe the pomp, the newest thing that y'all have come out with? I know the cookies are relatively new as well.
Yeah, the confetti pop frosting and cookie mix along with the just all the cookie mixes are our newest products, and they are great for holiday baking. If you need an idea for what to bake this holiday season.
Okay, excellent. That's great. And we'll definitely want to, that's a good tease as far as, you know, the new things you all have coming out in the spring, and we'll definitely want to let people know around that. I really appreciate this, Sarah. And like I said, you're a true success story in this space and are definitely, I think, impacting lives. And you know, as we get, there are a lot of great things that we see on social media and digital media and a lot of things that you can, you know, see on your sites and where you're, you know, located across the web as far as getting new ideas of baking things and things like that. But a lot of times that can draw us away from interactions and relationships. And I think that with, you know, what you're doing through Miss Jones, it's bringing people back together, you know, to rediscover that art of baking with families and to do it in a responsible way. And you've got to try these products. I think you can find them, you know, at Whole Foods, HEB, Publix, wherever you are. We have a lot of Texas listeners, so I've definitely seen them in Kroger
Amazon
and other
Prime.
Places. Amazon Prime. And you can get everything at Amazon Prime, right?
So that's, there you go.
That's great. Well, that's great that y'all are there as well. And I think check out their website. It's, let me make sure I have this right, but it's Miss Jones, so MissJones.co. So MissJones.co is her website. And then you can follow them on Instagram. And Sarah is just a great founder, CEO, innovator. And I really appreciate you making time today for this. Any final thoughts or words that you would have for any of our listeners just about, you know, baking, about what you've done as an entrepreneur that we haven't covered?
I think we covered most of it, but you know, being an entrepreneur, I'd go back to what we said earlier. It's just all about perseverance. So if you have a dream, you know, don't give up and figure out what you need to do to make it happen and turn it into a realistic goal for you. And in terms of baking, it's just, like you said, a really fun way to connect with friends and family and to show people that you care for them or that you love them. And, I think everybody should bake more.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I think we want to do a giveaway as well, and we're going to be, we're promoting and announcing it on the podcast, but we're going to do some things through Instagram as well to, give away some products. And, Sarah, do you want to tell what you've offered up? She's going to offer up a package and, we'll explain how we're going to do this, but,
Yeah, so we're going to offer up a package of one of each of our products. So we've got 12 different products, 6 frostings, 3 cookie mixes, 2 cake mixes, a brownie mix, and also some custom really nice Miss Jones spatulas and some recipe cards for ideas to get you baking.
Wow, that is great. What a great starter package. And y'all are going to love this. I'm telling you, it's going to be great. So what we want you to do is to, we'll put this on the podcast and I'll put it on the webpage for that and support it. And then also on our Instagram pages, but you need to follow Miss Jones on Instagram. You need to follow me, M. Van Hooser, at Miss on Instagram as well. And then if you want to follow Miss Jones on Facebook as well, and maybe tag a person and leave a comment about what this would mean to you as far as baking during the holidays and what you might bake if you had the opportunity to do that. You can put any kind of comment that you want around baking or your favorite Miss Jones product and why you would want this. And so we will choose somebody in a few days, but I just wanted to, we'll put more details on the Instagram site, but great opportunity. And then we'll work with you in direct messaging you to get your address and get that taken care of. But we really appreciate you offering that, Sarah. Any other final words about that?
No, just thanks for hosting, and we're excited to see who wins.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Sarah. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay,
have a good one.
Bye-bye.